If not, I want to call your attention to a scripture reading in the 145th Psalm. If you'd like to read with me, please turn to Psalm 145. And I want to read there the first 12 verses. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 12. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. As I said, that's reading the first 12 verses of Psalm 145 for a scripture reading here today. My message today will be the goodness of God. And in this, my burden today is to talk to you about the fact that God is good and that God wants to do good things for us. And we can look at this today on an individual basis, and we can know that for every one of us that is assembled here today in this service, for each of us individually, God would desire today to do something good for you and I. If you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know this, that not only has God made a way that you might experience the goodness of his grace, not only has he made every provision necessary in order for that to happen, but God wants to bestow his eternal salvation upon you. He desires to do that. So not only has he made the way possible for you to come, but God looks down upon you from heaven and desires that you would come unto him. Paul wrote to Timothy and said that God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. As I read this psalm, there were verses in here that really, really got my attention. When we think about the goodness of the Lord, you know, something that I find myself doing frequently, and it just seems to, without much thought, it just seems to come, it just seems to happen. I find myself frequently praying and thanking God for being so good to me. I mean, God so often, he seems to overwhelm me with the thought of how good that he really has been to me in my life, about how much that He really has blessed me. And I want to say this, that, you know, this psalm where I have read from tells us that the Lord God is good to all. And I can only say this, that within your lifetime, and I pray that it won't be this way, but if you're here today and you're not saved, that, you know, while you have the opportunity in this life, if you never come to know the goodness of the Lord in the giving to you of His salvation, it's going to be because you pushed Him away. It's going to be because you rejected Him. It's going to be because you didn't cry out to Him from the depths of your heart, because God wants everybody to have it. And He will not withhold it from anybody that will come to Him and truly meet His conditions. God won't withhold it from one single person that will do that. The 84th Psalm said that the Lord God is a shield and a sun, that He will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from him that walketh uprightly. You know, if we will do what's right in God's eyes, He will not withhold any good thing from us. If you will turn to the Lord and obey His command to repent and trust Him, He will not withhold the goodness of His salvation from you. I know that today by His word, and I also know it by experience. And I'm like Brother Wheat said this morning, how that the Lord has given us His word. We have it today in its completed form. And the Lord does speak to us through His word. And I'm thankful today for both of these things. I'm thankful for the things that God has shown me through His word. I'm also thankful for the things He has shown me experimentally. I know that the Bible teaches me that God did everything necessary in order for me to be saved. I know that God's word teaches me that taught me, and I knew this from a child, that I could be saved. I knew that from the teaching of God's word, that I could be saved. Just like Paul wrote to Timothy and said that, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. From the time that you were a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. I knew those things from God's word, but there was a day in the 18th year of my life when I experienced God's saving grace. And I'll tell you what, it's better felt than told. It's better felt than told. The goodness of the Lord. Think about today, and this was my burden and my desire today, that we might reflect upon the goodness of the Lord and how good He has been to us, because God ought to be praised for His goodness towards us. God has blessed our lives, and God has given us voice. God, in creating man, He allowed him to speak. And I know this, that from what I read in God's word, that God didn't give us a tongue and He didn't give us speech so that we could bash each other with it, did He? He gave it primarily that we could open our mouth and let our voice be heard and praise the Lord for His goodness towards us. David said, I love the Lord. And he said he loved Him because He had heard His voice and His supplications. You know, God gave us something, and I know that what we have, you know, when we come before the Lord, that what we have to bring to Him needs to come from our hearts, But David even said, the Lord has heard my voice and my supplications when I called upon him. God gave us the ability to be vocal, to be heard, and we ought to be willing to praise the Lord. David also said in the 40th Psalm, he talked about how that the Lord had brought him up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and placed his feet upon a rock and established his goings. And he said, God put a new song in my mouth, even praise to God. I enjoyed the song this morning. I enjoyed the congregational songs this morning. I love to hear people sing when they are praising the Lord with their songs. I don't care much for shows, just to be honest with you. It just doesn't do much for me, but when people praise the Lord, I like to hear it. It doesn't make any difference. In those times, I've told this to the church before. I've heard many people in the course of my life that they really didn't have very much talent to sing. I remember some of them specifically, as I have gone through life, I have known some that, I mean, they didn't have very much talent really to sing, but they would lift up their voice and praise God. And when they would sing, I mean, I would just get chills all over when I would hear them sing, because they were praising the Lord. Amen. In this verse here, as we think about God's goodness, it said, one generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. You know, I have had people in my life, when I thought about this verse, how it said this is something that happens, this transpires, and is passed on from one generation to another. And I thought back about, you know, there have been people in my life ever since I was just a little boy. There have been people that have been telling me about the goodness of God. There have been people, I had, grandparents and parents and aunts and uncles and people that I knew, old preachers that I think of from the past, from when I was in my childhood, that have been passing this on to me in my life. And I believe that one generation, it's important that we leave that legacy. It's important that we pass that on, that we praise the Lord before those that are coming after us, that they hear us talk about the goodness of God and praise the Lord in our lives, that they know what He did for us. Amen. That it be perpetual. There were people, if we think of the time since the church has been in existence, there were people there when the church was first established there in Jerusalem. There were people that began to lift up their voice and share with people the goodness of God and what God had done for them. And it became perpetual, and it was passed on from generation to generation. And, you know, here today, many, many years later, after the church was established, we still know today that God is good, don't we? We haven't lost that knowledge. We haven't let that slip away. We know here today, 2,000 years later, after the establishment of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today still knows that God is good. Not only because we've heard it, not only has it been passed down to us, but God has moved upon our hearts and moved in our lives and shown his goodness towards us, hasn't he? God has blessed us. He's blessed us as individuals. He's blessed us through the years in many ways as a nation. He's blessed our churches, and he has shed his goodness upon us. Everything that God does, and this is one of the main points that I felt compelled to make today in this message. Everything that the Lord does towards us is for our goodness. Is for our good, is for our betterment. Everything that he does towards us is for that purpose. If you go back in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, in verse 31, the last verse of that chapter, you find there that that first chapter tells us about all the things that God created. And then at the end of that chapter, it said that God looked at all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God didn't make things that were bad. God did not create things that were broken. God did not create things that were defective. God created things that were very, very good. And we can say, well, look at man. You know, God created man, and look at man. We know that the Bible says there's none good, no, not one, and that's true, but we weren't like, man wasn't like that in his original state. Man is that way today because of what he has chosen. Man is that way today because he chose the path of sin. And the reason that we know today that there is none good, no, not one, it's not God's fault. It's man's choosing that we are like that. God created man, and when he created him, he was absolutely perfect. He was good. He was very good. We know that God created Satan. God created him. And we know that he is ultimate evil, but that too is by that which he has chosen to be. He was very glorious in the day that God created him. He was a very glorious angel in his original state, but he chose to disobey. He chose to rise up against the Lord. Everything that God made was absolutely good. God's plan of salvation is perfect. I mean, there's not a flaw in it anywhere. It's perfect. But you know, when we think about the goodness of God, I think there's something all too often that people forget. And, you know, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, it says, "For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." I told you that everything that God does towards us, he does it for our good. He does it that he might bestow his goodness upon us. And in that verse there in Romans 8:28, it doesn't say that all things are good. It said all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I want you to understand today that many times God will put us through things that seem far less than pleasant, that he might bring about the greater good. That's how God works. I think sometimes that we are too afraid of our trials, that we are too afraid to face, you know, Sister Collins spoke about trials this morning before she sang, and we do face trials, and I think I'm afraid sometimes that we have the wrong perception of those things because, you know, oftentimes when people And when everything is going well, people don't have any problem praising the Lord for his goodness. But you let trouble come. You let trials come into their life. And many times people turn against the Lord. They begin to blame God for things. They begin to question God about things. Why would God let something like this happen to me? I have served him and I have gone to church and I've done this and done that in my life. And why would God let this happen to me? But friends, let me tell you something. If we never had trials in our life, if we never had things that trouble us, if we never walked through the valleys in this life, we would never know the fullness of the goodness of the Lord, would we? We would never know how wonderful that God's grace is without getting to the point that we realize that we don't deserve it. God has been, as I said, God has been good to me. God's been good to you. God has blessed us in our lives. But you know what? The worst that I have ever felt, and this is where, I really believe that this is the point in what we call modern religion today. The lies that people are being told today through what we call the modern plans of religion, the modern plans of salvation, I really believe that this is where they have missed the mark in all of this, because the worst that I have ever felt in my life was brought upon me by God. The worst feeling that I ever had in my entire existence was produced in me by the Holy Spirit of God. He made me feel horrible. And, you know, they're telling people today, you don't have to feel that. There's no need for all that. That's not necessary. But let me tell you something, friends. When God convicted me of my sins, when God showed me, you know, God gave me the best look at myself that I have ever had in my life. And when I looked at myself the way that God enabled me to look at myself, I want you to know that I despised what I was. I did. God made me despise myself. He really did. When I saw the sinner that I was, I didn't like it. Did you? I didn't like what I was looking at. I mean, it's like, you know, James talking about that man that beholds his face in a mirror in a glass and walking away and forgetting what he really looks like. I'll tell you what, God gave me a look at myself that made me to realize what I really look like, and it condemned me and it bothered me. And I'm convinced that that's exactly what David was talking about in the 116th Psalm when he said, I was brought low and the Lord helped me, where the Bible tells us about God remembering us in our low estate. Listen, lost friend, you need to understand this today. God is going to take you down before he lifts you up. Amen. He's going to show you what you are. And I'm convinced that if God did not do that for us, and as bad as it makes us feel, as bad as it, you know, the outlook that it gives us about ourselves, I know that God works those things in us for our own good. God gave me, I've told the church before, I grew up with parents that believed in giving whippings. Didn't feel like I deserved them when I got them, but I'm sure I did. They gave whippings. They gave us whippings. When we got out of line, they gave us whippings. But I want you to know something. God gave me the greatest whipping that I've ever had. When I got out of sorts with the Lord and did not walk obedient to God, God whipped me like nobody else had ever whipped me. I mean to tell you today, friends, he put the hurts on me. But I know that he was doing it for my good. I know that he was doing that because he didn't want me to stray. God doesn't want any of his people, his children, to stray. He chastens us because he loves us. And he does it for our good. David said, the sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And that's necessary, isn't it? And we need to continue to teach people that that's necessary. And I don't, you know, regardless of what they're saying around us today, I don't believe it. I'll stick with God. I'll stick with his word. I believe that before we know the goodness of God and his salvation, we're going to know the agony of the conviction of sin before we know how good it feels to be saved. We're going to know, God's going to show us what we are in his sight. So many ways, I mean so many times, precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. So many times, as we think about this verse, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Brother Strode, remember your old dad? He preached for years and years. He ever tell you about how good God was to him? I bet he did many, many times. Think about your parents when you were growing up. I've thought about that many times. Thought about it when I studied this, how that they just, you know, my mom, she used to drive me nuts when I was a boy because she just, you know, I'd bring my friends over to the house. This is when I was lost. I was a teenager. I'd bring my friends over to the house, and she was always singing. Always. Just always. I mean, she just did that constantly in her house. She would walk around singing, praising the Lord. I mean, she did it when she cooked. She did it when she ironed. No matter what she was doing, she was always singing. And, you know, there were times, like I said, before I was saved, there were times that I would ask her, I'd say, Mom, do you have to sing all the time when I bring my friends over here? Do you have to walk through the house singing about God's amazing grace and all these things? And, you know, when I would say that to her, I mean, it didn't faze her a bit, and it sure didn't stop her. She just praised the Lord. And, you know, little did I know, I think, when I was a boy, how much it was getting into my heart. Because she just seemed to have this continual praise for the Lord up on her lips. And I've remembered that and thought about that many, many times through the years. How that the way that God... Do you know that the goodness that God has had upon us in our lives, those of us that are here today, we think about how good that God has been to us in our lifetime. Do you know he was bestowing that goodness upon people that lived here before we ever got here? He was giving it to them. He was giving it to people that were here before they ever got here. God has been bestowing his goodness upon people ever since the day he created man. And he will continue to do it until the end of time. And I bow my knees to him. He's the only one I worship. I bow my knees in my house where God has blessed me to live. And I lift up my voice to heaven, to God, and I thank him for his goodness toward me. I don't mind who knows that. I want everybody to know how good that God has been to me. And the things that we face, the trials that we face, the things that we go through so many times that seem less than desirable, we've got to understand that all things work together for good to them who love God. God can take things that seem to us so hard to face, and He can make good come out of it. Now, I'm not talking about troubles that, you know, there are things that we just bring up on ourselves, and I'm not talking about that. Peter, the Apostle Peter himself said, don't suffer as an evildoer, but if any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God in behalf of it. We are going to have valleys. We're going to have things that God is going to take us through, but listen, if God brings you to it, He'll bring you through it. He'll bring you through it. The goodness of God. What a wonderful thing to experience the goodness of the Lord. God, as I said, the worst that I've ever felt in my life was when God showed me through the workings of His Holy Spirit in my heart, when He showed me how I really appeared in His sight. When He condemned me in my sin, that's the worst that I ever felt in my life. But when I cried out to the Lord and He saved me, I've never had any good feeling in my life to ever match that. That's the best I've ever felt. I've never experienced anything else like it when God spoke peace to my soul. If you're here today and you're lost, I want you to know God paid a great, great price so that He could bestow His goodness upon you in saving your soul. He paid a great price for that. And if you live and die and never know the goodness of His salvation, it's going to be upon you. Don't miss it. I urge you not to miss out on the goodness that God has to offer you, because He wants to save you. He wants to save you today. And so I would like for us to just have a song at this time and somebody sing about the goodness of God today while we stand. bless you, Sister Wright.
God's goodness, number 277. Amazing grace fits right in, doesn't it? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
To sing God's praise.